The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Hey, you want to hear something that you might not know? In 2 days, I'm going three fingers deep.
I don't know what you want me to say, Domino. 11:02, Cellini Domino.
I don't want you to say anything. I want you to think about it. That's all.
That's why I'm hesitating, because I am thinking. And when I think, bad things happen. We are here on the road, Top Golf in Midtown. They closed for a little bit to renovate, and now they are open and bigger and better than ever. Come on by and check it out. Top Golf in Midtown, Ellsworth Industrial Boulevard, 1600 Ellsworth Industrial Boulevard to be exact. We appreciate you, no matter where you are, taking the time to listen. Remember, folks, you can listen all the time. You've got the Fan app, and that is driven to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming, and Beaver Direct is the quickest and easiest way to shop for your car online. I was watching the locker room this morning via the Fan app. I was listening to the locker room this morning via the Fan app. I was listening to Braves baseball last night via the Fan app. And you can do all of the same. Also,
must be nice to be rich.
You must have a lot of money.
No, you don't need any money. Like I said, it's all brought to you by Beaver Toyota.
Is this like when I get a movie for $3.99 on Prime Video? No, do you rent this time? What is happening?
It doesn't work that way at all.
Nick, I just got back from vacation. I'm a little short.
It's free. You don't have to worry about any money whatsoever via the Fan app, 680thefan.com. You can follow along via the X platform at Road Dog 680, at Matt Lear, at Chris Domino, at Cellini, Nick at 680, the Fan. You know, today is National Grandparents Day, Chris.
Oh, it's nice.
So who's your favorite fictional grandma or grandpa?
I don't know. Let me get over the fact that I don't have any with me anymore. Let me deal with that for a second. They're all gone.
Well, at our age, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah.
We're lucky we still have one of our parents.
Yeah.
Which you're lucky enough to say you do.
Yeah, I have one, so I'm not an orphan like you.
I am. I'm very much an orphan.
But I'm a grandchild orphan. I am a grandchild orphan.
I think we all are at a certain age. So, anyway, that's up there at the X platform, and you can also, obviously, follow along on Facebook and Instagram.
Let me, last night or this morning, did you get on that list of things, and then you just go, okay, we'll just do that? I mean,
last night, it
feels to me like the effort really isn't very strong.
Well, listen, there were a lot of moving parts last night, staying up late and watching the championship game, which completely took me out of my comfort zone. And I'm not going to be one of those guys, because everybody in our business does it. Why are you starting our game so late?
Yeah.
But it really doesn't make a lot of sense to start it that late.
No, it doesn't. We found out on the Sunday afternoon the women can absolutely demolish their all-time viewership numbers, so why not? You know what I would do if I saw those numbers from the NCAA? I'm playing on Sunday afternoon. I don't know what it's going to be on a Monday night starting at 9:20, but I might play on a Sunday afternoon. So good enough for football.
Yeah, I agree. Do the Final Four on a Friday night, because those numbers were outstanding for women's college basketball as well, and then play the championship game on Sunday.
Or,
why not?
Or the men have officially taken a backseat to the women. We will find out at some point this morning from a numbers point of view.
And we'll talk some college athletics after Harold Reynolds joins us. He was in town last night for the special Hank Aaron celebration from the MLB Network. He'll join us at 11:20. Hank Aaron's grandson, his great-grandson, I should say, throughout the ceremonial first pitch last night. But it was the Mets that then took over as they won 8-7. You know, like we said, you can't sustain this. The comeback victories last Friday and Saturday over Arizona, they almost came back after blowing a 4-0 lead last night. But as you like to say, Domino, the more that bullpen door swings open, the more problems you might have. And the bullpen can't sustain what they did over the weekend either. It's impossible.
It's numbers. And being perfect is eventually going to end, unless you retire. Unless everybody in the bullpen says, man, we are not going to be any better than we were this weekend. We are done. Well, last night the door swings open a couple of times, and it didn't work as Pierce Johnson picks up the loss in that one. I will say, though, the more I think about with all of the star power on this team, I'm not sure there's a guy I want to up at bat more than Travis d'Arnaud when something seems to be on the line. Like, it sounds crazy. I got Matt Olson. I got Austin Riley. I got Ronald Acuna, the MVP. I got Oz, who's my favorite Brave. And every time I look up, I go, oh, I wouldn't mind if Darnell was coming up right now. He had another opportunity last night.
He drives one into right center that just comes up short at the wall to end the game. But like we said, the bullpen, Pierce Johnson was bad last night. It's going to happen. A.J. Minter gives up a home run, one of two, hit by Brandon Nimmo, who was perfect last night. I know it's Nimmo. It's funner to say it, and funner's not a word I know.
Yeah.
But it's my program. It's Chris's program. Give us a break.
Are you having a stroke?
I'm not having a stroke. Nimmo was the guy that was on fire last night. Four hits, five runs driven in, those two home runs. And Charlie Morton, listen, he walks the bottom of the order.
Uh-huh.
And then in the fifth inning, Brandon Nimmo comes to the plate.
Uh-huh.
I think at that point, now far be it for me to question anybody, but I'm laying in bed,
uh-huh,
kind of talking to myself last night watching the game.
Hmm.
And I'm saying, self, why isn't Rick Kranitz going out there to have a conversation with Charlie Morton? Does he get the benefit of the doubt because he's 40 years old? No, he shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
he was all over the place. And that home run that Nimmo hit, I'm not saying my son would have driven it out of the yard. My son would have made contact with that pitch. That's how bad Charlie Morton was last night. He was awful.
I watched Matt Olson a couple of times, but the other day it looked like he could have killed somebody in the chop house. When you see those screaming line drives, man, you better get out of the way. I will tell you one of the reasons I think you go out. It's not for the lecture. It's not for the teaching moment. It's pace.
That's right.
I just want a guy to, hey, you know, I'm not here to give you a pearl. I don't have one. You're 40 years old. You've been in the World Series. I just wanted to slow down for a second. And this is what you do. You slow walk it in, you slow walk it out, and then maybe the guy just gathers himself up for a second. In a world where the pitch clock exists, I know you get limited visits, but to me, that's the moment where I'm just looking to slow something down. That's all. I'm not there to tell him what to do. He has an idea of what he'd like to do. He needs to execute. But I am maybe just trying to change the pace of the game at that point.
And it didn't happen, and a victory didn't happen, and the series will continue tonight. And let's just say that Ronaldo Lopez, as a fifth starter, I don't want to say there's pressure on him.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's pretty important for you to go five or six tonight. This bullpen is being used way too much to begin the season because these starters aren't doing their jobs.
And remember this, you're going to have a day game after a night game coming on Thursday if the weather holds up. So then it gets a little bit trickier as well because you have a shorter time. Usually bullpen guys rolling in at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not the greatest thing in the world if they've been used one or two nights in a row. We will get to that when we have to. Last night was not very good. Now, we're the show of honesty, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. We're probably going to have a vocabulary lesson or two for a couple of people who work around here. I'm not sure people really understand when they email words what the word actually means. I'll just leave it at that for now. I don't want to go into any further details, but I'm just not so sure that people don't just type, get it spell check, and send it out without knowing the definition. The other thing is, I would just like anybody who, if there was something that needed to be done last Saturday, sending me a text about it this morning does none of us any good. Because, again, the Wayback Machine, I'm working on it, just like the Seance Machine, but I haven't perfected it yet. So if you're asking me something or telling me something that needed to be done this past Saturday, too late, I would have said eat the text. If you need it done this Saturday, that's cool. Send me the text. When all you do is reference last Saturday, you should have eaten a text.
Because you don't have a DeLorean
like
with a flux capacitor.
Like a bowl of grapes, you should have just eaten that text.
I get it.
Okay. Now I feel better.
Good. Last year at this time, Marcell Ozuna was getting booed off the field at Truist Park. The polar opposite this year. Hit his fifth home run of the season, the two-run shot to give the Braves that 4-0 lead last night, matching Mookie Betts and Tyler O'Neill for most in the majors. David O'Brien had this number last night from The Athletic. Been covering the Braves for years. Most homers since last May the 1st. Obviously not this May the 1st. It's not here yet. Marcell Ozuna with 49. Matt Olson's got 49. Marcell Ozuna's got 43. Tied with Kyle Schwarber. Mookie Betts with 40. Shohei Ohtani with 39.
So from the Braves.
Yes, from the Braves, still with the Braves, going back to last May the 1st. Second only to his teammate, Matt Olson, is Marcell Ozuna.
It's a career resurgence. As I said the other day and somebody pointed out, he's become baseball relevant again. So let's hope, because I'm going to need a little bit more from the top of the order, this guy Ronald Acuna. Now, I'm not like everybody else, so I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. Here's what I believed. It's really hard to double up to be an MVP. If you were looking at last year's numbers and you said how he starts will determine how good I feel about him for 162, I'm not playing that game. I do know this. It at some point is going to get better because then it creates more opportunities for you to score.
Yes.
That's all. And when it will be, I don't know. Could be tonight, could be tomorrow, could be two good games, could be a not-so-good game. All of those things are in play when it comes to baseball.
You're a snit on Ozuna's resurgence.
No, it's consistent, and you know, he's seeing the ball good and slowing the game down, and you know, it's kind of what that guy has done his whole career, really. And so that's great. I mean, I think he's just kind of doing what he's capable of doing.
Can I ask? Was there mass last night? Were they doing that one in church?
I think Snit had a long day. I think he was probably a part of the entire day-long celebration honoring Hank Aaron, who gave Brian Snicker his start in management within the Braves organization.
I did like
he was a little bit tired.
Just one of them days.
That they held off the Hank Aaron Award for Ronald Acuna until last night. That was a nice touch. They didn't give that one out on opening day of the home opener. They waited on that one and had... obviously, Andrew Jones there as well as Ryan Howard.
I like how they had the fans who entered a drawing to be a part of it in the outfield all holding different numbers all the way up to number 715.
I didn't understand that. What was that?
Well, it was essentially honoring Hank Aaron to a certain extent.
I don't get it. Seemed a little bit busy to me.
Also, Monday, the Hall of Fame announced they will unveil a new statue somewhere down the road, and a stamp will be forth by the U.S. Postal Service. Rob Manfred, your buddy, helped honor Aaron here by joining the Braves and announcing the $100,000 endowment of the scholarship at Tuskegee University, the historically black university in Aaron's home state of Alabama. So Dusty Baker, I thought, was the highlight of the day and the night. He got to sit in with Jeff Rancour and company. Jeff's going to join us to talk about that and more, his weekly conversation at 12 in the third inning. And there's a guy that I can sit and listen to all night long, Dusty Baker.
Ask me why.
Why?
Because he's cool. And it's really hard to be legitimately cool. If you don't know, if you're not a person of a certain age, I don't know what cool means today. I'm old enough to know when I say cool, I know what it means, and it's Dusty Baker. I have a theory as to why he looks as good as he does. I'll give you that coming up in a little bit. I do notice that Rob Manfred did not make it out to the field because he would have had the bejesus boot out of him. And I just don't think a guy like that wanted to deal with that. I know why he was in the building, by the way. He was in the building. He went to go see both teams, and there were things going on other than the Hank Aaron thing because there are conversations. They're fighting in the middle of the street. The big building in New York with the Players Association about arm injuries and a bunch of other things. Okay. That's why he was there. He went to the festivities during the day. He didn't want to be on the field at night.
Yeah, probably like Artie Moreno, who owns the Angels. They had him as a part of the opening collage on opening day.
Yeah, calling all Angels.
They booed the bejesus out of him, and all of a sudden they did it the next game, and Artie wasn't there.
Snip, snip, snip. He was edited. He ended up on the cutting room floor. Yeah, I talked about that last night on the pregame show. I was like, huh. So these guys who are rich, they don't have the thickest of skin, perhaps, sometimes.
Doesn't seem that way. Here's Brian Snicker on the night celebrating Hank Aaron.
It was awesome. I think it was really cool. It's good to see all the guys, you know, the 74 team here. And like I say, I'd met some of them guys, so that's pretty neat. And a lot of them I hadn't seen in a long time. So I thought they did a great job. The whole day was from the luncheon on. I thought that everybody, they did a great job
with all the
celebrations.
It was just a long day, that's all. A long day of celebrating, and unfortunately the Braves couldn't come up with a win last night. But he's talking about, obviously, Dusty Baker. Ralph Garr was there. Ron Reed started that night for the Braves when Hank Aaron hit number 715. Tom House was in the bullpen. He caught number 715 in the bullpen. And Ron Reed said, where is that young Tom House, who's now 77 years old? But you think back to your friends when you were younger, and you envision them still as being younger.
I think Ralph Garr is 78. They talked about how when Ralph was a young player, Henry took him under his wing. So, yeah, time does march on. I've got a couple of really good Tom House stories. I found something that we did with Tom. Do you remember having Tom House on?
I don't, but I'm sure we did.
We did. We had him on, and it was right before I think he became the quarterback guy, the quarterback guru, the mechanics guy. He had always been doing it.
That is the same Tom House, for those that don't know.
Yeah, he's the one who actually has Tom Brady at 48 years old throwing a football better than he ever has. But I'll give you a couple of Tom House stories. I listened to something that we did with my mini disc player that I got off of eBay a number of months ago, where I was actually able to listen to some of this stuff. There were a couple of good Tom House stories I think we'll revisit.
You ever think about transferring those into the system so you can use them for the Hardball podcast the Hardball show, the Ray Giudice interview of the week?
Let me explain something.
On Saturday mornings. Just give it some thought, that's all.
When you were sitting in bed last night thinking about should Rick Grannis come out, I got other stuff on my mind. I didn't have enough time this morning to actually bring in the Tom House thing, to download it into a machine, figure out how to use the machine. It's a lot of things that I had going on.
Apparently
so. I spoke to Clark Kellogg yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to cut that up. He did like UConn, by the way. He had the winning side.
Good.
Yeah. But there were a couple other things that we talked about at some point. John Calipari was one of them. I do think tomorrow we'll hear what Clark Kellogg thinks about the Kentucky job.
And hopefully we'll get to Tom Howe somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
Today would have been good. You know, the day after Hank Aaron hit number 715.
I'll tell the stories.
And you know, caught that ball in the bullpen. I said it would have been good. I'm just saying.
I sort of fancy myself a storyteller. We'll see how it goes.
All right. The 11 o'clock hour presented by Finley Roofing, Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer with four decades of experience and a lifetime warranty on their work. FinleyRoofing.com. Let's hit the bongos and let you know what's coming up on this very program that we call Cellini and Domino. Like we said, Jeff Rancour was a part of Hank Aaron night on Bally's. Dusty Baker sat up there and talked to the fellas during that third inning. He'll join us at noon.
I didn't know Rancour was actually at that game in 1974. That was a little bit surprising to me.
I don't think that's accurate. Will Trae Young be returning for the playoff push? And overall, we'll provide an update prior to Jeff Rancour at 11:50.
It's funny you Freudian slip because my grandmother used to call it a pish.
Yeah. I got to go take one pretty soon. And a very awkward day for this NFL prospect. We'll talk some NFL coming up at 12:20. When we come back, like we said, he was in town for Hank Aaron night. Harold Reynolds from MLB Network. He will join us next, and we'll talk about last night's championship game as we go on campus. All a part of the next segment on this program we call Cellini and Domino. Top Golf in Midtown is where we are. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Top Golf in Midtown is where we are. Great night celebrating Hank Aaron. Not the great result that the Braves or their fans wanted.
Whatever.
During the game, but prior to the game, the celebration was strong. Harold Reynolds from MLB Network and MLB Tonight. In fact, he's going to be a part of the entire home opener, the Red Sox and Orioles, this afternoon. He is also a three-time Emmy Award winner for Outstanding Studio Analyst. As you said, quite the guest
we
have on right now. Harold Reynolds joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Harold, always a pleasure having you on the show. I know you don't have a lot of time. You're headed on the road, leaving Atlanta, but thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. What a day yesterday. I know the game wasn't what everybody'd like to be the final result, but the morning and leading up to the game to honor Hank Aaron was absolutely amazing.
Hey, Harold, do you think you know five guys personally who've had a more fascinating life than Dusty Baker, though?
No, Dusty's had the life, hasn't he? He's in the. It's incredible when you go through and you look at the moments that he's been able to witness and be a part of. Absolutely incredible.
I was trying to tell everybody here. Everybody's like, "Oh, he looks great." I was like, "Yeah," because first of all, he had the 100-pound thing taken off his back when he won the World Series, and he's so legitimately cool. Most people who are cool, they age quite gracefully.
That's true. That's true. There's a special swag or candor about Dusty. I can't even remember all the different moments. I mean, he's on the on-deck circle Hank Aaron at 7:15. He's in the dugout. He's the first guy who ever high-fived somebody in baseball, him and Glenn Burke. I mean, there's so many moments that Dusty's been a part of when you look at baseball.
And some of the good and some of the bad. He's on the Dodgers when Reggie hits the three home runs. He's a part of the Bartman game. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And thankfully, he goes out on top as he gets that World Series with the Astros.
Absolutely. And it was great and fitting for him to get that. And I really believe he's a Hall of Fame manager. I think he'll be heading into Cooperstown before you know it.
Harold Reynolds with us from the MLB Network on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Talk about what that experience was like being out there and soaking that all in last night.
Well, it was just, it started with the morning. We had the ceremony over at the museum that unveiled the More Than a Brave, the Hank Aaron the salute they got over there and his tribute they have at the museum. And just all the people that showed up for that banquet. And then to the stadium. And just the way people revere Hank Aaron is so well deserved. I think the Braves do above and beyond what other teams do. It's just a very special and unique organization. Terry McGuirk is the leader of that, the chairman. And what he's built, cemented, the people they put around it with Derek Schiller and the whole crew and on into the field. They do such an amazing job, and the fan base follows, and it's just really one of the special places in the country.
I am not saying this to be disparaging to somebody else, but here's the difference. Hank Aaron would never demand that he be introduced as the greatest living ball player at every event he went to. He could have had the right to, but he was not going to go down that road at any point.
No, never. That's not Hank. That wasn't who he was, and he'll never be remembered that way. One of the most humble people I've ever met in my life. And I guess somebody said it best. You wouldn't know if he was Hank Aaron or just your grandfather going to a game. He was just that humble.
So the game goes on, as we all know. What are your thoughts on the arm injuries, including Spencer Strider's?
Well, it's tough to see. I mean, we've had this epidemic, I think, for a number of years. I know a lot of people are talking about pitch timers and everything else. I think it's way greater than a pitch clock. We've been watching the Tommy John thing for the last 20 years. I think it's chasing velocity. I think it's overthrowing. I think it starts at youth level and it just filters all the way up to the big leagues. If you look at most of the pitchers that are being drafted and signed are coming through the travel ball industry. They're throwing all year round, and I'm not surprised that when they get to college or major league level that they're starting to blow out.
I'm a capitalist, but I think if I ran a team, owned a team, if I was the guy who was responsibility for the first and the 15th of the month, I got to put more incentives in pitching deals. I can't have it be the way that it's gone because it just feels like the kick in the groin is one thing. The financial kick in the groin becomes another one if this thing goes awry.
Well, I mean, even if you watch women's softball, it all starts in the circle. I mean, it's the circle, it's the mound. Those are the guys that are going to win games for you. I just feel like we've had a runaway train in baseball. Somewhere along the way, we have not chased the fact that we want starters to go deeper in the games. Everybody's got to throw every pitch, max effort. We just got away from pitching and started throwing and then tried to incorporate the two. Even the winter workouts, you have to have time off. And I think there's a solution to how we train and how we condition. And hopefully at the end of the day, that's what we figure out. Pitchers are going to get paid. They get the ball. They win games. And you don't win championships without them. That's just the way it's going to be. And it's going to be top players, pitchers and all the top players. You're going to get paid.
Are you surprised we don't see the, I don't know, maybe it's happened in some place in America. Is somebody trying to throw a knuckleball any place in Iowa today?
I hope so. We had a number of them. We used to. I still think there's a couple guys hanging on trying to throw it every now and then. But we're not going to see Phil Niekro every day. Where that's his main pitch, or Joe Niekro or any of those guys. Charlie Huff. That was their craft. That's what they did. I don't know if we'll see another knuckleballer.
Harold Reynolds with us for a couple of more minutes from the MLB Network. So because of the injury to Strider, we talked about the possibility of Trevor Bauer coming to the Braves. Do you think he gets another shot, and are you surprised that he's not in baseball yet?
I won't be surprised if somebody gives him a shot. You know, that's one thing that with the commissioner's office and following what Rob Manfred does, he punishes, but he moves on. You know, he doesn't hold somebody in punishment. And usually a lot of guys bounce back, so we'll see. I'm not sure what's going to happen. That's up to, you know, the 30 owners if they want to sign Trevor Bauer or not. I know he's been throwing and doing a lot of different things, but there's a lot more that goes into signing a guy, and I'm not in that decision-making process. But I would not be surprised if someone signed him.
Harold, is there a general manager or manager in your career that was a little bit more inclusive in terms of having conversations like that? Maybe you're thinking about a guy in free agency, thinking about a trade. You go to the veteran committee. Have you been around a guy in baseball who sort of took that approach?
Yeah, I mean, I had a number of general managers that when you get to a certain, I won't even say status, I'll say age, I'll say experience, or they'll call you in and ask you your opinion, kind of on the leadership ladder of the club, see how it might affect the clubhouse, see how do intel through players. Players know players way better than management maybe knows players or how somebody might fit in. And so, yeah, I've been in a number of those conversations before in the past.
Give me the one guy. We were watching something the other day, and it was plays at second base. Do you have a I got knocked into the outfield moment in your career?
I think if you played when we played, everybody got hit. I got a couple that come immediately to mind. B.J. Surhoff hit me in spring training one time on a double play, and I was like, I'll never get hit like that again. I had Dan Glavin slide in and take me out in the game, and the difference was Chili Davis slid in hard on me one time, and I looked for Chili for 7 years. Every time he was up first, I'm like, get the ball to me, because I'm going to sit him down. I'm going to drill him when he's coming in, you know. And so we use the drop-down throw as a defense mechanism right. to protect yourself. But the rules have changed so much now, and I think the reason guys get hit, you know, we saw the Jeff McNeil blow up right. early in the season with Reese Hoskins, and I think it's a shock to guys when they get hit. You know, I look at it totally different. That wasn't that bad of a slide. The umpires ruled it that way. Major League Baseball reviewed it. They didn't say, you know, it was a bad slide. But if you're playing today, you're not anticipating getting hit. So when you get hit, it's almost a shock to the system. And I can't fault today's players. It's more the rules that they play under. You know, you gotta still, I believe, every time you get the ball, you gotta anticipate getting hit. You gotta get up in the air. Even if the rules say he can't hit you, you gotta be ready. Just like a quarterback drops back, the rules say don't touch them, but they better be ready to get hit, you know. And so that's kind of where we're at in today's sports. I understand it. I know people want to protect players, but the players have to also be in the mindset that I may get hit even though the rules protect me. And if that is the case, then I think you avoid injury a lot easier.
All right. I know the strike zone box. Some people tell you, well, it's when it crosses a plate. It's a one-dimensional thing. Do you believe in the box itself? Most times you'd be able to tell from center field, ball or strike.
I hate the box.
Okay.
I hate watching it.
Okay.
And
so
it's arbitrary. It's based on each individual, and it
right.
depends on what ballpark you're in as well.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But my question would be, there was a moment, and this is not crying, Max Fried got screwed in a called third strike. Do you think there's ever a place for maybe a challenge flag or two on a third strike call? Or no, should we just not even go down this road?
That's a tough one because we're doing it in the minor leagues and we're testing a lot of those things in the minor leagues. We being Major League Baseball is testing those things. You know, they're playing under a challenge system in minor league baseball. You're able to do that. I managed the futures game last year and we had that in the futures game. So our directive, we only had two challenges in the game. So my directive was like, hey, the challenge has to come from the bench. You know, so sure enough, first inning, one of our kids takes a high fastball for strike three, and he challenges it. We're yelling for the bench, no! So one down, you know, and so you got another, you know, 7 innings to play. We're playing a 7-inning game where you don't have the challenge system. So we're seeing it. So would that happen someday in Major League Baseball? Again, I would not be surprised because they're working on perfecting a lot of these rules. And the younger the players are, the further we're moving it with the new rules. That's what they're playing under in the minor league system. That's why the pitch clock and the pitch timer has not been a problem for younger players. They play under it in the minor leagues. You know, they tested that with 8,000 games in the minors. So all these guys that are coming up, all your young players getting to the big leagues, they played under that system. They're used to being in the box in 7 seconds, and they're used to, you know, a pitcher delivering a pitch in 15 seconds. And they're the ones that are staying healthy. It's the veteran guys that are struggling a little bit with the pitch timer. So as we get older and you flush out all the veteran guys and all these new things that are so foreign to somebody like myself, they're used to playing under it. That's just the way things have developed. Our kids are used to being able to text and tweet and do all the things on cell phone. I didn't grow up with it. You know, so just like society is changing with the times, so are the sports.
Well, Harold, we know we got to run, and we appreciate the time. Hopefully we can do it again really, really soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Harold Reynolds traveling. He was in town last night for Hank Aaron Night with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line from MLB tonight. And don't forget, you got the Red Sox home opener against the Orioles this afternoon. Harold on MLB tonight, weekdays on the MLB Network. B.J. Surhoff, during spring training, slides hard into Harold Reynolds. Times have changed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure B.J. Surhoff could get down the line to make a play that close.
Not back then, apparently he could.
That might have been one of them soft flips that second baseman absolutely hate.
So it was a special night in town last night. It was a special night if, you're up in the Northeast, if you're a fan of a certain school. With that, we buckle up.
The college football voice of the South is going on campus. Presented by Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth. Or shop online at SubaruofGwinnett.com.
UConn beats Purdue last night in the national championship game 75-60. Back-to-back national champions for the first time since Billy Donovan, and Florida did it in 06 and 07. More on Billy Donovan shortly. And all six wins coming by double digits. 23.3 points, the average margin of victory, after 20 points was the average margin of victory in last year's tournament run. So 12 straight NCAA tournament wins by at least 10 points, dating back to last season. You can't dominate much more than UConn dominated. And we know that Dan Hurley is one of those guys that is old school. And he talked about NIL in the past as not favoring it. Well, maybe he was just in a good mood after the game last night, because it seems like Chrissy changed his tune. Give this a listen.
I coach the hell out of these guys because of everything that they get. And they have a responsibility to work harder and to represent UConn and to fight their absolute ass off to win games, you know, for our donors, our fans, the university, because of everything that they get that past players didn't get.
He wanted to reiterate that. I mentioned yesterday, Lisa Bluter said, in the best of five, I don't think we beat South Carolina, but we only have to beat them once. Dan Hurley said, because of NIL, I coach them closer to the pro level than anything else. He had a moment with Zach Edey last night. Now, look, I don't know what happened. I'm going to read you a couple of things that people believe about Dan Hurley, which I'm going to say, huh, that's hilarious. But at the end of the day, maybe he's actually taking that to other guys on the floor. You're not 18 to 22-year-old kids anymore. You know, I'm a believer in you don't show up a kid. You don't put a kid in a bad place. But are they really kids? Is Zach Edey a kid?
Zach Edey had 37.
He's not a kid.
Braden Smith was the only other Boilermaker in double figures with 12. That was the game plan last night. And you're talking about midway through the first half when Dan Hurley comes out on the court to complain about Zach Edey being overly physical, which he is. Incidentally, with apologies to Seth Greenberg after watching that game last night, if he plays like that in the NBA, he's going to foul out in the first half. because you could call a foul on him every single time, offensively or defensively.
I don't know, every possession. I don't know who told us. They don't know how to referee a guy like this in college, so they err on the side of let's not call the foul. Don't take him out
of the
game.
He's hooking people in the low post. He's grabbing you. He gets away with everything.
Yeah. But there are some people, a lot of Purdue people, who are saying, what a classless individual Dan Hurley is. I'm going to
it was Zach Edey that turned to him and said something first.
That's the point.
He wasn't talking to Zach Edey.
Nope.
And if you talk to a guy like Dan Hurley, guess what he's going to do? He's going to chirp back at you.
Yeah, he doesn't think you're a kid. You're not 11. You're Zach Edey, who's been in college for 12 years. I'm sorry. You're closer to a pro than you are a kid. If you start it, you better be able to handle it. That's all. And I'm going to tell you what the Purdue folks were doing in their building last night. I'll give you that coming up in a little bit.
So we know the job opening is still there at Kentucky. And prior to the game, you had the coach that everybody seems to think is the right guy for the job, and Jay Wright, say, no, I am not interested in the job.
I didn't hear that.
Affirm, though, is what he said. No.
Really? I heard a little bit differently.
All right, maybe you did.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what's being talked about. And also, Dan Hurley asked about it after the game.
I hope I don't misquote you, but you said out on the court something about UConn giving you all the resources you need. Can we interpret that to mean you intend to be back at UConn next year? You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern.
Yeah, he said, talk to my wife. That's how he finished that. Talk to my wife. I don't know what that means either. That's not a no either. I don't say no. You laugh a little bit about it. You do the deflection, pull a little bit of an okey-doke, say I don't think that's going to be a concern, but that's not answering
the
question.
So he signed an extension last year after winning the national title, a six-year deal. He's making $5 million this season.
Higher.
Yeah, they're going to tear it up and give him more money. If Coach Cal's making $7 to $8 million to go to Arkansas, he's going to stay put. He says his wife seems to like it there in the Northeast at UConn.
Smart.
And he'll make more money. Either way, he's making more money.
So part of what Clark Kellogg and I talked about yesterday was, you know, we talk about this guy's a Northeast guy, this guy's a Midwest guy. Is that really true? I don't know. It's lifestyle as much as anything else. They can afford the house wherever it is they're coaching once they get to this level. But do you want to change a lifestyle? Well, that's a kitchen room table. Sometimes that's a kitchen table conversation. Could your wife be swayed for an extra $3 million a year? I'd imagine so. But you got kids involved and everything else. Don't say no. Don't say never. It's the one thing. You can say whatever you want about Tommy Tuberville, and a lot of people do. Tommy Tuberville at least came on with us and said, why did I say never?
When he was at Ole Miss, he did talk about that. John Calipari, we know, is going to Arkansas. Apparently, someone caught up with him yesterday. Now explain this to me. He's walking his dog and pushing a stroller simultaneously, so I think if the dog gets tired, he puts the dog in the stroller?
Yeah. I think a lot of people thought, oh, look at Granddaddy Johnny. He's pushing a kid around the neighborhood.
No.
No, it was a dog.
And a lot of times...
The dog is in, then the dog gets out. Then the dog gets back in.
Yeah, the smaller dogs, you put them in the stroller. Give this a listen. A reporter catches up with Coach Cal.
No, I don't. I'm watching my dog right now.
Anything right now?
Yeah?
No, I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on. My dog is walking me. Come on.
Paul is the dog's name.
Yeah, why do you think it's Paul?
Maybe he's a fan of McCartney. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I'm more curious about the name of that dog than the actual clip or anything involved in the clip. I don't know if I actually go, look at this guy. Walking a dog with a stroller.
Or dog is walking me.
Do I think it's
who's walking who?
Do I think it's the biggest baller move of all time when this guy knew somebody's going to catch me, they're going to ask me, because he needed his 2 minutes yesterday to let the world know not only am I okay, but I'm going to be richer than I ever was. What is that move? I contend he knew that somebody would find him with a camera.
Maybe.
I don't even know if the guy, that might be his brother-in-law, the guy asking a question just so they can get this thing
it
out.
It seems like a local television station there in Lexington
was
caught
it?
Up with him. Pete Thamel is saying Billy Donovan is the top name. Then you got a guy like Jeff Goodman saying that he has turned down Kentucky before Billy Donovan,
twice.
And he wants to stay in the NBA. So do what you will with all of that information.
Maybe third time's a charm.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm not taking Jay Wright's almost no last night as a no. I'm on the phone with that guy today, tomorrow, and the day after that. I'm not hiring anybody in the next 3 days. Jay Wright is going to tell me no 3 days in a row. Not the national audience. He's going to tell me. Mr. Kentucky guy.
Now, looking forward to seeing what the numbers for last night's game were, because South Carolina's Sunday afternoon victory over Caitlin Clark in Iowa in that women's championship game drew an audience of 18.7 million on average on ABC and ESPN. That is the highest rated basketball game. In fact, the only sporting events to draw a bigger television audience since 2019, football, the World Cup, and the Olympics. So there's a good chance that the women in their championship game are going to outdraw what the men did last night.
It's a chance. Now, is it sustainable? You know how I'm going to know it's sustainable? When a streamer gets involved and starts throwing more money at them than they've ever had. I'm already reading about, well, we would like this and we would like that. That's great. I would like a full head of hair and $1 million on the chair right next to me. You can want a lot of things. If the streamers get in, I'll tell you what I would do. Can I give you a, it's not $1 million idea, but it's an idea. It could make somebody some money. I'm doing a docuseries about this rookie class in the WNBA. I got your attention. I got Caitlin Clark.
Makes sense.
I got Angel Reese. I got a group of people who you now know. I'm doing the trials and tribulations and the triumphs of being a young player going to the WNBA. That's the first thing I'm doing.
Now, we say there's a chance because keep this in mind. In 2019, prior to the pandemic, the Virginia and Texas Tech game, the championship game, averaged 19.6 million. So just keep that in mind.
What game?
Virginia and Texas Tech.
How the hell did that happen?
I'm not sure.
I think that's an error in accounting.
Are you saying that the numbers were padded? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't know why that game would draw. Virginia is one of the most boring teams in the history of the world. What did Texas Tech have going for?
I don't have the history as to why that happened, but those are the numbers that were being reported yesterday. So, how close is Trae Young, speaking of basketball, to coming back? We give you an update from the Hawks next. That's right. Start the clock. It is your NBA Minute, the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Finley Roofing. We are at Topgolf in Midtown. Cellini, Domino, Jeff Rancourt at High Noon here on your home of the Braves. It's the Fan 680, 93.7 FM, and the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Just doing our jobs.
What are you talking about?
Your grandmother hasn't paid her taxes in over a decade.
What? Grandma, you didn't pay your taxes?
I would have, but I didn't have any money.
A problem. 11:54, Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680.
Wow, that's a tremendous looking trophy.
93.7 FM. It is National Grandparents Day. It's the X platform question of the day. Who's your favorite fictional grandma or grandpa?
It's so touching. Every time we come back with a soundbite, it's so like, wow, I wish my grandparents were still with me.
Hey, the green card is still with us. It is back starting on
Brush
Friday
up on the English.
9 a.m. at 680thefan.com. Deal of the year. Six of the area's best courses. One low price at $249. Cherokee Run with a cart, might I add. Bears Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National, Wolf Creek. Oh, a $607 value, $249. 200 cards available. They're going to go fast. 9 a.m. They go on sale this Friday at 680thefan.com. Jeff Rancourt will talk with him about a special night he was a part of last night, Hank Aaron night, down at Truist Park. He'll join us at noon for his weekly conversation. In a team release yesterday, Domino the Hawk said that Trae Young has been cleared for team practice, and now we'll see with four games left if he is going to play. The guys this morning were saying, aside from Brian Finneran, play now, as in tonight when they face Miami. Yeah. And if they win the play-in, they're likely next going to see Miami or Philadelphia. It's not going to be easy. And if they make it through that, then they're going to see Boston in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
What's the Herb Brooks line? What's he asking about, an injury? Can he
injure it any worse?
Yeah. And Trae Young.
I don't know if he can. And it's
not a knee or a wee-wee. This seems pretty easy to me.
An Achilles, a knee, like you said. I think that if he's cleared to practice, he should be cleared to play about 10 or 15 minutes starting tonight. Mark Stein reported that in the offseason, Domino, the Hawks are either going to trade DeJounte Murray or Trae Young.
Wait, what?
That's a huge story.
You've got to tell me to sit down before you give me news like that.
Private matter needs to stay private.
I know that floored you. One of them is going to be gone in the offseason. Which one? We shall see. But I think we all stand in agreement they're not exactly breaking news. Let's buckle up.
Turn off the GPS and let Domino take the wheel. It's a drive around the sports world, presented by Marietta Toyota. At Marietta Toyota, every new Toyota includes our nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty. Family-owned and operated since 1975. Stop in for a test drive or visit MariettaToyota.com. It's better in Marietta.
All right, let's do this quickly. Hit the music. This is 1987, and the reason I bring it up is everybody knows Luther. Luther, I don't think, did it until 2001. Do you know the guy who wrote the song? I think his name is Dan Barrett. He did it originally. Listen, this is a guy named Dan Barrett. Jennifer Hudson did it. Like, five different people have done it. Neo, but then they went back to Luther, and then Luther got to stay. Like, they sort of went away. This is the guy who wrote it. So I did a deep sort of look. As of last year, he said he gets about $50,000 a year from CBS to use this. He's got a terrible agent. Terrible agent.
Yeah, that's astonishingly low.
That's what he says. He gets $50,000 a year. All right. I think he should have had somebody else.
So 87, the first year, this ran Keith Smart in Indiana with that jumper, beat Syracuse.
Yes, sir.
And Syracuse, for some reason, couldn't make any free throws.
That is correct. And Dan Barrett, I believe the man's name who wrote it, is the singer here. All right. Nobody has called their shot. Look, everybody talks about Babe Ruth. Everybody talks about Joe Namath. Everybody talks about, I don't know. Give me another called shot. The Rangers. Mark Messier.
Leonard DiCaprio.
Leonard DiCaprio, he called a shot in Aviator. He did call a shot. He said, I'm gonna fly that thing. He called a shot.
The Spruce Goose, right? Yeah. Is that what Howard
Nobody's called a shot better than Dan Hurley.
You know, we got exciting young players. We got an older group of guys that are going to get enough wins this year that they'll feel good about the way their career ended. We got some exciting young players that are going to help lead us back. We're going to continue to recruit and develop and bring in the type of players that will bring UConn back. People better get us now because it's coming.
This was a January 2020 loss to Villanova when he said that. Nobody's ever called a shot better. Nobody. Sorry, Joe Namath. I get it. But you had two different teams winning back-to-back national championships. Somebody is going to need to, and I don't think you can, so maybe this is just, it's like Oak Island. Maybe it's just not possible and nothing's going to be found. I don't know if you were watching in disbelief the way that I was last night, but this is what came on my TV screen.
This is an hourglass. It represents time. The sand on the top expresses the future. The sand on the bottom
symbolizes
the past.
This is Terry Crews before the game last night.
Present.
I was watching the Braves.
Okay.
Are here. And you will always
I don't know what was going on here. I don't know if it was CGI. He had both teams in front of him. He had to do this speech twice. He's got a sand. What do you call it? Grains of sand are going through, and he tells you to.
It's an hourglass.
Yeah, he starts talking about some high school basketball he played in, where he thought that the headline was going to be Terry Crews wins the game, but he missed. But then he gives you a life lesson. Everything after that. Then he went to Magic Johnson, Isaiah Stewart, Grant Hill, guys who actually won national titles.
Isaiah Stewart's our engineer.
Isaiah Stewart. No, they went to Isaiah Stewart. He was part of it. I was so confused by Terry Crews. I had people who work at this station all of a sudden on the episode, on the broadcast last night. If anybody else, I don't think you can explain it to me. But if you'd like to, at Chris Domino, that would be the place to do it. You've got to watch this. He goes through the whole motions of how he went up and how he was going to be a hero.
Sounds very confusing. Almost psychedelic.
I don't know what the hell was happening.
I was watching Dusty Baker in the booth.
Grains of sand.
Okay. So here is the last thing, and I'm just going to tease this for later. Do you know what this sound is?
Can't tell you.
Okay. Those are lottery balls. I have got what I believe.
Seven.
I have got what I believe to be the second greatest draft conspiracy that we're about to be thrust into. It'll never be number one.
Breaking rumors.
Frozen envelopes are
always
going to be
number one. So is this a part of the dump
one.
At the end of the program? This is
maybe.
A really, really extended deep tease?
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
Okay. Like deep cuts. All right. When we come back, he was right in the middle of a special night at Truist Park. Jeff Rancour joins us to talk about that and more next. It's Cellini and Domino Topgolf in Midtown, the renovated Topgolf in Midtown. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. That's where we are. It's the Fan 680, 93.7 FM and the Fan app.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.